Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Stochastic.com MLB Strategy Show. 13 game slate today. I think the first time we've had this all year, as a matter of fact. I don't like it. That's okay. Doesn't make a difference, right? 13 games on a Friday night to usher in the weekend. None of those 6 p.m. games. It's a Friday, so no real afternoon games outside of one of them. Happy to have you guys with us. I'm Dave Lockham. With me, Matt Bellman back again this week, hanging out. We're going to go pitchers. We're going to talk stacks. We'll break it all down. Make sure that we leave no stone unturned. Get you out of here right on time. And one thing to point out, if you're watching now or you're watching later, NBA locks at 5:30 today, okay? So NBA live before lock, 4:30, right? It'll be here. It'll be on playback. MLB live before lock exclusively on playback today at 5:30. Now, fret not. 100% free. Awesome platform. You can watch all the basketball games as well. Who knows? If those guys are sharp, they'll have NBA on in the background while they do MLB live before lock. Matt, to me, that sounds like a fun time. Go sign up. It's free. Link's down there. It's awesome. We've had a lot of fun over there as well. What's up, dude?
Nothing, man. Happy this week is almost over. Excited to get on here and talk this slate with you. It's a fun one. I know there's a ton of games, so I'm glad we're not going game by game, but good pitching options at basically every price here. Should be a fun one.
Yeah, man. And as always, guys, appreciate you making this your morning destination every day of the week. Hit that thumbs up if you haven't done so yet. Subscribe to the channel. And as always, you're watching after the fact, leave a comment down below. We read and respond to all of them. And if you ever want to listen in podcast form, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever the hell it is that you listen, yeah, you can find us. Anyway, man, I'll spare the pleasantries. Actually, I got to mention BK. Said Lafayette, Embiid finally exerted his dominance, huh? Yeah, dude, 50-point game. But he's so my buddy Dan Strafford. Some of you guys might even know him. We go back all the way to the FanVice days. If you've been around these streets for a while, amazing fella. He hits me up after game one, and he's like, "Yo, does Embiid have an eye twitch?" I was like, "I don't know. I never noticed it." I chalked it up to, I was like, "He probably has sweat in his eye, you know, and he's trying to blink it out or something." And he's like, "No, something's going on." So then after game two, he was first on this case, man. The sleuth, Dan Strafford. He was first on the case. And then he sends me a video yesterday of Embiid doing like something like this. Turns out that it was a matter they would have preferred to have kept private, that Woj tweeted last night after the win that he'd been dealing with a minor case of Bell's palsy. Now, you know what Bell's palsy is? It looks like, essentially, it looks like you are a stroke victim. The best man at my wedding had Bell's palsy. The whole fucking side of his face, you know, turned to mush. And it happens. So that is pretty wild. The guy had Bell's palsy. I'm not saying that like it totally impacts the way he plays, Matt, but it kind of sucked to go out there with half of your face not being able to move and be numb like he did, drop 50. So shout out to Joel Embiid.
It'd not be a good feeling. On top of everything else he's dealing with, he's clearly not healthy. I think the rebounding numbers bear that out. But he's still amazing. So this series should be fun going forward.
What about you guys in chat? And we're talking baseball. Don't worry. It's me, though. So sometimes we spend a minute or two in places we shouldn't. What side are you on with this Woj thing? So they say it's a matter that they wanted to keep private. Woj's job is also to break news. So it's kind of like a fine line there. Is there a gray area? Where do you side on this?
I definitely feel like he's in the wrong if he wasn't specifically told that it was okay to put that out. I have to imagine, though, like he wouldn't just put that out unless he got from somewhere that it was okay and that it was going to get out anyways. I don't know enough info as of now, but I think it's like you said, it's a big gray area.
I'll be honest. I think it's his job.
Like, yes, but it's not like this has any relevance to the game or anything like that. Like, you're right. I see that argument, but I also see like kind of a private matter. It's not really because it's in the public eye. So I don't really feel any type of way about it, to be quite honest.
Right. And they won. It is what it is. Let's talk baseball. 13
real games. Quick on the NBA train. Has there ever been a playoff series that's gotten less pub than the Cavs Magic?
No, it's a garbage series, dude.
It's awful.
Like,
it's so bad.
The Mavs with a blowout win yesterday. The Magic with a blowout win. They just routed them.
Ben Carroll, you want to know why that series sucks? Because you know that no matter who wins, neither team's doing anything after that.
Right. Also, it's just super slow, sub 200 total.
So true.
And yes, there's some good players. Like Mitchell's good. If you're a basketball fan, you like watching a young stud in Bankero who's only going to get better, right? Like, but there's nobody that brings that star appeal. There's no Joel Embiid. There's no, even the Knicks. Do people care enough about Jalen Brunson? That Knicks team is excellent. OG Anunoby has transformed them into a phenomenal squad. Hart's been awesome. I'm not shitting on the Knicks. I'm just saying that type of other than being the New York Knicks that play at Madison Square Garden, does anyone care that much that's a casual fan? I mean, you'd think they'd care more like Durant and Booker, but they look like garbage right now. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what get to teams like the Timberwolves. Like, do people get into that? Because they're excellent defensively, but Edwards is also a star. I don't know, man. There's only a few, in my opinion, though, there's really only several teams that have real, real appeal.
Agreed. Man, about the Knicks, though, they're not this good, and I don't think they'll win a title or anything, but they give off a lot of, like, 04 or whatever Detroit Pistons vibes.
They're good. They're good. Yeah. And Tibbs is, I've always been a big Tom Thibodeau fan. Like, his players love him. They play for him. You know, they're a good basketball team. And they don't have, like, I guess Brunson's a star, but games one and two, he was super quiet and it didn't
matter. And he's a star. He's not a superstar, though.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. BD said, damn, bro, it's New York. That's what I'm saying. Listen, BD, if this Knicks team, same staff, same personnel, same players, was in Oklahoma City, you think anyone would give a shit? Honestly,
nope.
That's not an insult, man. It's not. I'm telling you right now, they're really good. I think they win the series, but they don't have that guy. That's all. No one's like, man, I can't wait to watch OG Anunoby, Hartenstein, and DiVincenzo today. It's okay. They're good. Good teams win. All right, let's talk.
I got to ask, where do you stand on like the Villanova Philly thing that's going on? Have you seen that?
What, the fact that DiVincenzo, Brunson, and Hart were all on that winning Villanova team?
Right, and like the Villanova Twitter account is like hyping the Knicks because of all the guys that went to Villanova.
You have to. I mean, yeah, those are three guys that won you a recent title. You have to.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is, but whatever. I don't care about college anyway. You have to. Like, you know what I mean? Those are your guys. I think you have to have loyalty to them. Forget about the Knicks. You have to have loyalty to the players above anything else. All right. Let's get into it. 13 game slate. If I were to ask you, scale from 1 to 10, how deep is pitching tonight? What would you say? What would you put it at?
Probably put it at a 6.5. There's a lot of pitchers going, obviously 26 of them, but there aren't that many ones that you want to roster. So I'll say a 6.5 just because of how many options there are, but it's not like it's loaded at the top and it's not like we've got so many options to choose from. There's just a lot of arms on this slate.
I'd put it at a 7.5.
That's fair.
Here's why. A lot of times you have good pitchers in tough matchups, bad pitchers in good matchups, decent pitchers in decent matchups. You have Corbin Burns against Oakland. You have Zach Gallen against Seattle. In Seattle, you know, one of the most pitcher-friendly parks. You have, where's the other one I was looking at? Eflin against the White Sox. And I think there's like two or three more spots that might not be elite, but they're pretty good. Like, we'll talk about Luzardo. I didn't see him officially confirmed as the starter.
He's scratched.
He was scratched on Friday.
No, he got scratched this morning, and he...
Did he get scratched again today? Or I'm sorry.
He did.
Sorry. Yeah. Dude, I was thinking it was Monday. I was reading.
Yeah, I'm like, you said Friday. I'm like,
I was reading. I was reading that he got scratched on Friday. And I'm like, oh, okay, so he's had the weekend to recover.
That's hilarious.
Shows you what my life is like these days. Do we still not have a confirmed starter for Miami?
We do. It's this Anthony Maldonado at 4K, who our tools don't like, but he's been he was really good in spring. Like, he's definitely someone we'll talk about.
Okay. So I'd say you have like 4 to 5 really nice spots just because the matchups are really good. But then to your point, everything kind of just levels out and there's nothing that great.
Yeah, honestly, I'm more with you. I think it is more towards like a 7 because of the 3 guys you mentioned up top who are all really good options. And you don't need 10 pitchers to choose from. If there's 5 guys that are all good, like, that's a deep pitching slate.
Right. And we have 13 games. So I'm gonna pick your brain a little bit once we get into some of these and see if there's any good leverage spots, because sometimes you get them on these slates like this, but you kind of have to start with Corbin Burns and Zach Gallen. Burns is going up against Oakland. They have a sub-3 implied total. It's in Baltimore, not Oakland, but I'm not sure that matters all that much. 23% top 2 pitcher probability in our top pitchers tool. He is negatively leveraged because he's super popular on a 13-game slate. And that's like that's kind of where we have to start and finish with Corbin Burns is, if Corbin Burns is really upwards of 40% owned on a day where we have 26 pitchers on the mound, does that do anything to get you off of him?
I think it starts to bring in the conversation of pivots, but for me, not really. Just because it's not like a core slate where it's like Burns and X offense is going to be really popular. There is no offense on this slate that's going to be really popular. So pretty easy to get different. I'm not the biggest Burns guy in the world, but in this spot, he looks like the top option on the slate.
He does. And I think, you know, when you look at Burns and compare him to some of these other guys, like Zach Gallen is the same price point, essentially. I will say, though, if the ownership to Gallen is going to be 19%, and Corbin Burns is going to be 37%. Zach Gallen starts to look interesting. Now, I've mentioned this about him before. And I don't know how much stock to put in this, but you've seen some pretty wild home road splits with Zach Gallen. And, you know, this year, I'm not reading into this year. He had one start in Colorado. It was actually pretty good. You know, 10 strikeouts in Colorado. He got lit up against San Francisco in San Francisco. But Seattle's still one of the highest strikeout teams versus righties. T-Mobile Park is super pitcher friendly. When I see the ownership discrepancy that big, it's hard for me not to like Gallen when Seattle has a 3.5 run implied total today.
Yeah, I'm with you. I always like these top tier pitching options coming off a subpar start too. Like, these guys are aces for a reason. So it's the ownership. Like, I get why Burns is more owned. Same price point. Gallon's a tad bit more expensive. Similar strikeout upsides, but Seattle's offense is just so much better than Oakland's that the floor for Gallen is a lot lower. That said, in tournaments, I care about the ceiling. So I think playing both of them or pivoting is wildly in play, no doubt.
Jen Stoner said, tell me those edibles kick in without telling me that. Nah, man, I haven't even had a drink in a week. Not bad, but not an edibles guy. I've done them on many occasions. While I've had a strong constitution in my day for other substances, Matt, the edibles do not sit well with me.
I don't love edibles either. I'm big on flour. I love flour. I panic. But I just...
No, there's something about it. I used to be able to smoke, no problem. I don't know if anyone else, I know other people are like this, but it used to be no problem. And now, like, unless you go very light, I start getting up here too much in my head and things go south quick. Too cerebral up there. And then I can't become, I'm like not social. I overthink everything. I overanalyze everything. And then I have these wonderful ideas that when I wake up in the morning, they're gone. So yeah, I guess that's just El Negro, edibles are so weak. Yeah, not for me, pal. Not for me. Not for me. You know, listen, if I ate an edible before a show, I promise you, you'd know immediately. It wouldn't be good. And I'd probably leave the show after 5 minutes. But Gallen, and I'm grouping these guys together intentionally like this. Gallen, Burns, and then Zach Eflin. So Zach Eflin's pulling 9% ownership against the White Sox. Why?
Yeah, is it a weather thing? I know there's like slight weather concerns in this game, but really good pitching weather? I don't know either. He looks just as good as the other two to me. I mean, just because of the matchup.
Yeah, and by the way, there is definitely, there's weather here. But if they play, like if we assume that it's going to play and it doesn't look like it's going to be delayed or they have a late start or something like that, I don't see why Eflin would only be 9%, right? The White Sox have a 3-run implied total. They're a terrible, terrible baseball team. You know, the winds aren't crazy. It's 56 degrees. So, you know, that leans pitching weather. Yes, rain, thunderstorms, and all of that stuff is in play here. We might just be factoring all of that into ownership right now. But if there happens to be a clearing, I don't see how Eflin's 9% owned at $1,000 cheaper than Gallen, $800 cheaper than Burns in what I think right now is the best matchup in all of baseball against the White Sox.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't even like Oakland and Colorado are also bad, but not nearly as bad as the White Sox in my eyes. So yeah, Eflin isn't as good of a pitcher as Burns or Gallen, but he's close. He's on that next level and his spot is so good. The price is lower and the ownership's not there. So I'm with you here.
Are there any other guys up top? If you just like, you can sort by the highest price pitchers, and we have six of them north of 9K. All right. Eflin, Sale, Corbin Burns, Gallen, Nola, and Imanaga. Are you getting to like Shota Imanaga? Are you getting to Chris Sale? Are you getting to Aaron Nola against San Diego?
I don't really like any of these guys. I think my favorite would be Sale, the cheapest of the bunch. He's been good this year. The ownership is there, though. I don't really want to pick on Cleveland. So I don't love any of these guys. Nola's just too expensive. I don't hate the matchup, especially if Machado's not back. He's interesting in tournaments, but I always prefer him at home. He's just priced out for me.
So none of these three guys.
No, especially with Eflin pulling so little ownership. I'll just go there for the ownership discount.
I was a little bit surprised to see Chris Sale pulling 24% ownership. That stood out to me a little bit. Because
I don't get why he's getting so much more ownership in a much tougher spot than Eflin.
Agree. It has to be a weather thing here. I mean, it has to be. Cleveland, only 237 plate appearances against lefties. But they strike out at a sub 20% clip. If we know one thing about this team is they're not a high strikeout team. And go back to the start of last season. So 2023 up until now. And against lefties, the Guardians, second lowest K rate in the league, ahead of only by 0.5% the Houston Astros. Do they 90 WRC plus, 139 ISO? Nothing that jumps off the page is particularly good. Just a team that has a very low strikeout rate and puts the ball in play.
They've also been good this year. I mean, it doesn't matter for tonight, but they got the best record in baseball. And they've scored like the second most runs in the AL behind Baltimore. So, again, I'm not buying that for the whole season, but why are people just going there over Gallen? Like, I don't get that one.
Let's rank the top six. This could be fun in this price range, right? And then I actually want to go by tier instead of ownership. So we'll go by pricing instead of ownership, just given how big this slate is. So it's Nola, Gallen, Burns, Imanaga, Sale, and Eflin. Right now, you guys can call me crazy for this, but because of ownership, if it really holds and Gallen is, you know, Corbin Burns is more than twice as high owned as Gallen, I don't know. It's tough. I might still go Burns there.
The matchup is just so tasty for Burns.
It's so good. Because Seattle still has some power, even in a bad spot.
Right.
Gallen has been great at home. I'll go Burns, Gallen, but I really like that ownership on Gallen. No, I'll go Burns, Eflin, Gallen. Matter of fact, discount on ownership and discount on price if that ownership stands. I can't imagine it does. Then I would go, I think I'd still go Sale, Imanaga, and then Nola. I think I'd put Nola six. He's the highest priced pitcher against a pretty good San Diego team. I think
I'm
that's
going back and forth on Nola, to be honest, because he's overpriced, no doubt about it. I don't love the matchup, but pricing doesn't matter as much like in baseball and on pitchers as it does like for NBA, right? So like if Nola has a really good game here, the fact that he's 10-3 doesn't really matter because it's easy to make up elsewhere. The literal no ownership going to a guy like Nola, who, again, we've talked about this. I'm certainly more of a Nola guy than you are anyways. Like if I were just pitching, if I were picking the top overall pitchers on this slate, Nola would be easy top three for me. So the fact that he's getting no ownership is intriguing. I won't get there, but it's intriguing. I'm with you on the first three. Burns, Eflin, Gallen. The next three, I don't have much interest in any of them. Sale, maybe I would if he wasn't getting the ownership, but he is. I'm waiting for the other shooter drop on Imanaga, and then we just talked about Nola. So I think the first three look a lot better.
All right. Hold on 1 second here. All right, we're good. Taking a look then in the 7-8K range, Eovaldi has Cincinnati. That's an interesting spot. Not because Cincinnati isn't good. I'd still rather him pitch in Texas than in Great American Ballpark, straight bandbox there, even when it's not summertime. The Reds have an alarmingly high strikeout rate against righties this season. And Eovaldi's not a bad pitcher by any stretch of the imagination. That price point at 8,600, I think that's what would end up pulling me off of guys like Imanaga, pulling me off of Nola and Sale, because 9K and up, you have Gallen, Burns, and Eflin, all in really fantastic spots. And then you've got a guy like Eovaldi. Cincinnati strikes out. Sure, they have power, but you're talking about a team with the third highest K rate in baseball versus righties, behind only Seattle and Oakland, in matchups that we already talked about against Gallen and against Corbin Burns.
Yeah, I'm going to go back actually to the first question you asked me. This slate is deep on pitching. When you compare it to like basically any other slate, like this is like an 8 or 9, just because
good pitchers in good strikeout matchups, you don't get that all the time. And we have like 4 or 5 really good pitchers in good strikeout matchups.
Like a lot of these guys on slates, like I don't even remember yesterday or the day before, would be like the top option. So I'm with you there. I'm an Eovaldi guy. Like I don't really get why the ownership is there already, but he stands out in our top pitcher tool as a really good option. 10% chance of being one of the two guys, 18% ownership. Yeah, he's coming in a little overowned, but still less than 20% owned. He's a solid option. I don't like him as much as the top three guys, but he's cheaper. And especially like if weather is an issue for Eflin, I could see going to Eovaldi. There's also a couple other guys that are a little bit cheaper that are in play. And the other guy that I think looks good at basically his same price point is Cutter Crawford.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, 8,300 versus Chicago. You like that spot today at Fenway?
I don't love the matchup against the Cubs. However, you know, Bellinger's on the IL, which certainly, you know, doesn't hurt the spot for Crawford here.
No, it's helpful for a right-handed pitcher for sure. Yeah.
And he's been really good this year. And this is one that definitely just stands out a little in the tools. Him and Imanaga both stand out a little bit. I like the price point on Crawford better. But yeah, I think he looks similar to Eovaldi. Ownership is a little tilted in favor of Eovaldi. Not enough where I really care. I think both these guys are really solid pivots off the top guys.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot here. Another guy I wanted to ask you about is Patrick Sandoval. Is there any interest in that spot against Minnesota today? Just knowing that once again, you know, when you're talking about some of these teams that strike out at a high clip, Minnesota is one of them. They can also punish you. They also have some pop, and we saw that yesterday or the day before they can put the ball out of the park for sure. Is Sandoval cheap enough to where you're willing to take some shots there? Or do you agree with that 1% ownership?
No, I actually like the idea of Sandoval here. You mentioned at the beginning, let's see if we can find some leverage points. This is leverage point number one in my eyes. Not only is he cheap, Minnesota's right now the highest on offense on the board. So direct leverage there. He's got strikeout upside. Minnesota strikes out a ton. I don't feel great about it, but that's why he's not getting ownership. So ultimately, like in my three lineups or however many I play tonight, I probably won't get there. But as the ownership looks right now, I would definitely get to Sandoval over the Twins personally.
He's definitely struggled. There's no doubt about that. But his biggest struggles are just issuing free passes and then getting tagged there, right? Like just go in and take just a cursory look at his game logs. He's running his pitch counts up because like outside of Baltimore, he just got smoked early, but running the pitch count up, he's not giving up a ton of hits. He's just walking a lot of guys. He's getting strikeouts, 23.5% K rate. It's that walk rate that's concerning. And no doubt against Minnesota, that could be a problem. But could you get a game from Sandoval here where he goes, you know, six innings, one run, and seven strikeouts? I think it's in play.
Yes, yeah, Sam. It's probably more actionable like on the late slate when Minnesota will be even more popular. We do have good hitting weather in Anaheim tonight, so I don't love the spot for Sandoval. And Minnesota's not getting enough ownership where I think it's worth like selling my soul to play him, but I do think he's interesting.
He is. And look, that's always the one concern. You know, the wind is blowing out there in Anaheim. But look, and I said we'd leave no stone unturned. You don't have to be on board with all of this, but we got to talk about everything. Sandoval doesn't give up homers.
No, and I think the biggest point for me on Sandoval is, yeah, the weather might be an issue, but Bailey Ober on the other side of this game, who's 400 left, is projected to be the third highest owned pitcher on the slate. So can't be that bad a weather for pitching, you know?
Is he really?
He is. He's so cheap, and that's, I think, what it is. He's so cheap.
Wow. Yeah, matter of fact, you're right. The implied totals for these teams, Minnesota 4, Angels 4.1. Minnesota actually has a lower total than the Angels today.
I don't play DFS by basing off betting lines, but I would imagine this line is like Minnesota minus 130 max.
No, I would say
Angels, it's a pick'em game. Yeah. I was way off there. It's minus 115 both sides.
Yeah. So, wow, Ober pulling the third highest ownership. I know this Angels lineup is hardly intimidating outside of one player, but Minnesota, Bailey Ober, 6,800, essentially the same price as Sandoval, is pulling what ownership right now?
Yeah, 21%. Sandoval, yeah. 20 times the ownership.
Damn.
And Ober's not a sure thing, like, at all.
No, of course not. What about Lewis Heel today?
He's not a guy I've been playing a ton. He's been really, really good. I know he was great in his last outing. His strikeout stuff has been there. He's one where he stands out in the tools to me. Like, he's sandwiched between Eovaldi and Eflin as far as our top two pitcher odds go. It's kind of murky in there, so a lot of these guys are jumbled together. I don't know what to make of this Milwaukee team. They've been really good to start the season. Not sure that continues going forward, but they have beat up on right-handers. They do strike out. I'm not sure I'll play Heel, but I get why he's getting ownership, I think is the best way I can put it. How do you feel about him?
I mean, I guess the question is, like, how much longer does Milwaukee keep this up for?
Right.
I'm not saying they just go ice cold and they're bad, but I definitely think that there's some regression in play here for this team, right? Kind of feel like there has to be. You look at Milwaukee WRC plus 121 against right-handed pitching this season. That's fourth best in baseball. 163 isolated slugging. That's seventh. Weighted on base averages up there, top five right now. So these are all top three, matter of fact. they're up there with the best teams in the league. Do you think that's sustainable?
No, I don't. But I also don't want to go out of my way to pick on them with a guy who's certainly unproven in his own right and also getting ownership, if that makes sense.
It does.
Like, I'm not looking to stack Milwaukee here, but I don't want to go to Luis Hill, who's already getting love in a spot that is clearly risky.
The only question is, how much do we trust this guy's strikeout stuff? Because he has a 35% K rate this season. He's getting swinging strikes at, you know, a very respectable 12%. Like, the strikeout stuff has been fantastic for him. Walk rate's concerning. 20% is nuts.
K's are so king. It does, but K's are so king on DK that, like, I get why he's getting love even in a scary spot, because we saw it with a guy like Woods Richardson yesterday, who's not very good, didn't pitch particularly well, but got a bunch of K's, and that made him good. And I think you're going to see a similar, you know, you might see a similar performance from Heel that we saw from, like, Woods Richardson yesterday, except clearly Heel has more strikeout upside, and he's obviously more expensive, but that was just a misprice yesterday.
It just concerns me that when you have guys like this, it really limits how deep you can pitch into games. You know, like, look at it, four and two-third innings, four and a third, five and two-thirds. He's gone more than five once. He hasn't gotten out of the fifth. And I'm not saying the win is everything. Win equity is so hard to figure. Like, you know, you're not playing a guy because you think he can win here. Plus, they're modest favorites on the road. It's not significant enough, but...
But you want him to go deep enough where he can get the win. I'm with
exactly.
you. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And that's the concern. Like, if he starts coughing up runs, you know, you walk the bases loaded, you give up one single, you know, I don't know, man. The more I look at this, the more I think I agree with you. 17%, you're talking, what's he at? 17%, right? So right now we have him as the sixth highest owned pitcher. I would honestly rather pay a little bit more for Eovaldi against Cincinnati, which I think is a better strikeout matchup anyway.
Saying I would rather pay a little more for Eovaldi. I'd also rather spend down a little bit on Jose Buto, who are tools like more than Heel and Eovaldi, and he's getting less ownership. He looks like the real easy pivot for me.
You like him today?
I do. He's been really good this year. He's coming off a subpar performance, but that was in LA against the Dodgers. Like, okay, I'm willing to give him a mulligan there. Now he gets this crappy St. Louis team who hasn't done anything all year. He's only 7,100 and not getting ownership. I'm definitely interested in him here.
There's a crazy amount of pitching on this slate.
Yeah, there is. I'm going to, like, this might be the deepest pitching slate we've had all year. So I'm going to change to, like, a 9, because I think that was the point of your question. Like, clearly I didn't look at it, like, in depth enough, because there's pitching options all over. And on a lot of slates, we just don't really get this.
It's all right. We've made some, we're good. I agree. I would raise it from a 7.5 to probably a 9 as well. But you're right. Even Buto here at home, City Field against St. Louis, that's not a bad spot at all. Dude, striking guys out at 32%. So many of these guys have problems when it comes to walking batters. But at 7,100, who gives a shit?
Yeah, and this Cardinals lineup is not scary at all. It doesn't mean that it's baseball. Anything can happen tonight. They've got proven hitters in their lineup. Seems like a lot of their guys are on the back half of their careers. Like, Goldie and Arenado would have been an amazing duo 5 years ago. Right now, doesn't look so lethal. And those are their two best hitters. I know they just sent Jordan Walker down. This lineup's been a mess. It's been a mess for years, it seems. I don't really get why Buto is so cheap and not getting any ownership. So, yeah, I'm on him here for sure.
You're right. The power is just not there. They're bottom three in ISO versus righties, bottom five in WRC plus, 292 weighted on base average against right-handed pitching this year. That's bottom five. That's down there with Detroit, Oakland, and the White Sox. Well, obviously the White Sox are just, they're not in the basement. They're buried under the ground. But yeah, it looks, Jordan, did you run the lineup generator? I want to see what our exposures look like in the lineup generator. Let me pin this so we can see, because Matt, before we even look at this, Do you think we're going to have massive exposure to a few pitchers, or do you think it's going to be spread out? You think it's going to be flat?
I think it'll be spread out aside from Burns.
Okay.
I think Burns is going to be a mainstay, and then it'll be spread out around him. The reason I think Burns will be there a lot is because it's so easy to get different on offense.
Agreed. So Burns, 50%. This is on 20 lineups, Jordan. Gallen, 35. I like that. Cutter Crawford, 33. I think that says. There it is. Buto at 30% as well. So scroll down. Do we have any other exposure to pitchers in these 20 lineups? Chris Sale, 20-some. Like 10% Luis Gil. All right. So I guess the only guy we're not getting right now that surprises me a little bit is Eovaldi. And obviously Eflin. But I think the weather has something to do with this right now. It looks pretty bad. My guess is that changes. But we're running it for a week. I think this is day 4. So if you've been on the fence, you want to check out the lineup generator. You want a better way to build lineups. You can still, look, you still do things by hand. Like, you can still lock players and swap players. There's still customization with a tool like this. You can decide what type of stacks you want to run, 5-man, 4-man, 3-man, then rerun it, upload them all to CSV. You can decide if you want chalky lineups, balanced lineups, tournaments, cash games, all of that within this lineup. Dude, I'm telling you, for $5 on the week, you're not going to find a tool that does more for you than this. Just flat out guarantee. There's no better, you know, entry-level tool that builds legitimately good lineups that all last season was winning people tournaments. Josh and I, every day on the strategy show throughout the summer, were like, here's another 5 screenshots from lineup generator wins, from the mini max to any of these other single entry stuffs, even up to the $15 one. Worth a test drive for $5 on the week. If you hate it, you go, all right, well, I spent $5. But think about it. Like, even if you're only playing $3 a day, that's $21 on the week. You're spending $5 on a tool that's going to make you better lineups, give you a shot at winning, and then it's all worth it. And like I said, if not, it's $5. But once you get done, you can pick all the lineups you want, see your player exposures. You can see beforehand, discard the lineups you don't want, save the ones you like. Because you can see the optimal projection and also how chalky or contrarian each lineup is, that allows you to hand select the ones you like the most. And if you want, make swaps, any of that stuff. But keep in mind, we're only giving you the lineups. We're getting rid of 99% of them before they're even loaded in here. We're only giving you the lineups that project best for us on the back end, and then providing them to you. And then you can narrow it down. So link in the description and in chat. The promo code's already loaded. $5 for the entire week of lineup generator. So that's 7 straight days of baseball for $5, less than $1 a day. If you have questions, hit me up too. I'm happy to answer them. Are there any other pitchers? We've talked about so many of them. Any other pitchers you want to talk about that at least warrant some type of conversation here?
There's not. So Maldonado, I mentioned at the beginning, I didn't even realize he's just an opener here. So not playable even at 4K. And then, no, I mean, we've talked about so many guys. It just shows you how deep the pitching is that we didn't even mention a guy like Joe Musgrove at 7,400. Because, yeah, he's out there, but I think everyone we talked about looks slightly better. So there's other options out there, but I think we handled the majority of the good ones.
I'm with you. And Live Before Lock, like I said, playback exclusive today. That's going live at 5:30. NBA locks at 5:30. So NBA Live Before Lock is at 4:30, MLB at 5:30, over on Playback, NBA on both Playback and on YouTube. So keep that in mind. Let's talk some stacks here, Matt. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's say you're making one lineup in a high stakes contest. Who is your stack?
Man, I really like Tampa. Worried about that weather, but Tampa is my favorite stack on the board. 6% chance of being the top stack. And again, no team is over 7.5%. So right up near the top, 5% ownership. Chris Flexen sucks. Tampa got going a little bit recently. They've been awful to start the year, but we know they've got power. Tampa, but I'm just not sure of the weather. This is definitely the type of slate, though, where like there's only a couple offenses that are even getting even close to 10% owned. So it's one of those where I think you can really play whoever you want.
It's funny because you talk about all of this pretty decent pitching and then you get to stacks and you're like, man, there's 13 games. I feel like there should be more good stuff here. There hasn't been. I am a little bit intrigued by this Angels team against Bailey Ober. And it might've been Clayton that mentioned it earlier in chat that, yeah, Ober has looked good over his last three starts. And let's not, you know, downplay that first matchup. He got blown up by Kansas City. Then he faced the Dodgers, had a really nice start. And then he had two matchups against the Detroit Tigers. So take that for what it's worth. If Ober is really going to be as popular as he is, and you guys in chat, please, what side of this one are you on? I know where Matt's on, at least on Bailey Ober. But if he's really going to pull 21% on this slate, negatively leveraged to the fucking moon, minus 13% leverage on this slate at only 20% ownership, 7% top two pitcher probability. How am I not at least considering some Angels stacks here as a bit of, now with such a big slate, you don't need to get like, sorry, crazy leverage off of one pitcher and go to the other stack. But I'd be lying if I didn't say I'm a little bit interested in a 2% Angel stack.
So I'm interested too, but I will go back to the point you made at the end. Like, it's such a massive slate that even if Ober isn't good, like, how likely are the Angels to be the top stack? Not very. I mean, as evident by our tools. Right.
Agreed.
I know this would be like Greg's stack du jour, facing a pitcher that doesn't deserve to be so high owned, and he is. And it's worked out a lot this year. I don't love it tonight just because there are certainly going to be pitchers that are higher owned than Ober, whether it's Corbin Burns or whoever in that range. And you still need the Angels to be the top stack on the board. Like, this is another one, kind of like Sandoval, where if I were playing the night slate, I could see jamming in Angels. I don't think it's a bad play on the main slate, just probably not for me. But your points are very well taken.
The only reason I mention it is one very specific reason, right? Remember how I was saying that Sandoval, ground ball pitcher, doesn't give up homers? Bailey Ober throughout his career has given up power and has a 29% ground ball rate this season. He's a 32% ground ball pitcher, 50% ground ball pitcher for his career, or fly ball pitcher for his career, with 11.5% home run to fly ball rate. So if one of, like, call me crazy, but if one of these pitchers in a game where winds are blowing out at 15 miles per hour, if one of them were to get tagged for a bunch of runs, I'm seeing 20 miles per hour now out to right field. I'm at least interested in some of these lefties pulling some homers against the righty. You know what I mean?
Definitely. And as far as like, you're not your question, but what you just analyzed goes, yeah, for me, I would easily stack the Angels over Minnesota. It's just there's 24 other teams, you know?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, still low.
The Angels are like expensive also. Like, that's a big problem with them. Obviously, Trout's, they have a 1.4% chance of being the top value stack on the board. For me, I think the big issue comes from, yeah, Ober's getting too much love, and he's only getting that love because of his price tag. But this isn't like a Woods Richardson situation where I don't think he's good. I think Ober is good. Doesn't mean he won't have bad starts. He's not great, but I think he's good. So while I think he's overowned, I just don't have as much interest going to the Angels as maybe I would on another slate.
Also, just not a ton of lefties in this lineup either, which kind of stinks. You'd like to see that, you know, with these wins and everything. What about some other spots here? You nailed it. There's one team with a 9% top stack probability, and then Dodgers at 7 against Bassett, who's not even a bad pitch. Like, Bassett's not bad.
He's good. Like,
yeah,
Dodgers, it's just a play on the Dodgers. I mean, which is always in play, but it's not like, and this, again, I hate to keep going back here, but when you look at the stacks, this shows you how deep the pitching is, that there aren't stacks that just pop off at all.
Yeah, the fact that we didn't even talk about a lot of, you know, actual good pitchers, because why play Chris Bassitt against the Dodgers? There's just no point on a slate like this.
But so, he's still good, to your point.
I'm saying we didn't talk about him as far as rostering him goes.
Right.
Yeah, he's good, but does it matter? What about the Yankees against Colin Urrea or Texas against Graham Ashcraft?
Yeah, I think the Yankees, as of right now, looks like, as far as top stack percentages goes, you've got the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Braves, Rangers, and Rays as the top five. The Yankees are getting the least amount of ownership of all those teams. They're expensive. Certainly the guys you want to get to, Judge, Soto. Urrea hasn't been awful, but this offense is, they haven't been great, but they've got so much power. They're in play on any slate. Tonight's no exception, and especially with the ownership not really being there. Texas against Ashcraft? Yeah. View it as a very similar spot to the Yankees. Similar stop, top stack percentage. The ownership is going a little bit more towards Texas because they're easier to afford, but I think both of them look really good.
Ashcraft has had some homer issues. He's not bad. He's not terrible. Like, he gets strikeouts. He's not walking guys at an alarming clip. He has a 350 xERA, a 326 xFIP. Like, he's you could definitely argue that he's been better than his results. He has a 57% strand rate this year, a lot of ground balls, but a 20% home run to fly ball rate. So yeah, Texas, I can understand why they're up there. Are there
I worry with that. I worry with Ashcraft because he's made four starts this year and he's just been okay in three of them and then was amazing against the White Sox.
Right. Right. Yeah, I hear you. But even just looking at his expected numbers, though, they're better than his sure. actual numbers.
He's not a gas can by any means. No. And yeah, to what you're about to just ask me, a stat that I think is right in line with these top ones that I get it, it's a bad ballpark, but the Giants against Quinn Priester. We saw him get destroyed last year. He got called up for one start this year and got demolished. Like, again, doesn't mean it's going to happen tonight, but San Fran's in a sneaky spot in my eyes here.
It's a tough park, but I see where you're going with this. I have our top stacks tool pulled up right now. Jordan, do me a favor. Go to the top stacks tool. Wait till you see this, Matt. And then scroll down and sort by ownership. Look at that. Look at that ownership. There's nobody above 9%.
Yeah, I mean, I hate being, you know, saying stuff like this, but in MLB, almost always most teams are in play. And on a night like tonight, that certainly applies.
It's Jordan. If you go back to the lineup generator, this is I meant to ask you this. Now that we're go to stack exposure. Yeah, I mean, look, Matt, you see it right here. There's trace amounts of, like, you know, Washington, Dodgers, Atlanta, Cubs, Milwaukee. But I kind of understand why. Jordan, did you run the Sims too? All right, yeah, go to stack exposure on the Sims because this will give us a better idea as well. And go to five-man stack exposures. Okay, here you go, Matt. Tampa Bay, 14%. Looks like a little north of 20% overall. Around 20% overall. And then Miami. So Miami's actually won against Trevor Williams that we see as a positively leveraged spot. You know, a good... When you simulate all of these contests, they look good. Yankees, some San Francisco, good call. San Francisco is up there, fourth highest owned stack right now. And then a lot of three-man Minnesota stacks.
The Miami one is, like, I get it. They're really high in the top value, but they're also getting way too much ownership, all things considered.
Can you go to pitching, Jordan? Exposure? Just click off of stacks. Burns, Buto, Sale, Cutter Crawford, Gallen. All right. A lot of Burns right now. And of course, that can change throughout the day. But yeah. Before we go,
I don't think Burns is going to change. I think that's one going to be one constant throughout the entire day.
No, neither do I. What I think is potentially going to change is if we get news on that weather in Chicago, that Eflin could change things.
Yeah, I hope we get good news on that because I like both sides of that game a lot.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Before we go, let's do top stacks, top pitchers. Also, boys, particularly those in non-legal betting states, Eric and a lot of crushing on DraftKings Pick 6. You guys are already on there. Somehow you're not there. You're getting 100% deposit match bonus and up to $100 in Pick 6 credits with a $5 deposit. But you're there already. Either way, not trying to sell you on anything here. Check it out if you're not on Pick 6 yet. They've taken all of the Pick'em style and developed it into a peer-to-peer game, which makes it really cool. Plus, all of the lines are static. They don't move throughout the day. So, like, you know, I do these underdog videos, and Underdog is just a phenomenal site. There's no doubt. But like, I'll do these videos, and I'll put them out there, and I'll be like, look, I think these are going to move. There's nothing I can do about it once the video is out there. And they move. By the time someone watches it, you're not getting the good line anymore. On Pick 6, it's the same all day. And a lot of people just neglect that. So it's a new format. I think with these new formats, there's more edge to be found until it gets figured out. It's just a whole trying to solve the game, trying to be the best at the game. And when it's new, you find added wrinkles, you find edges that somehow some people still are taking advantage of. So Pick 6, man, people like it. I think it's coming to Pennsylvania. I hope. I don't have it there yet. Sports betting, but not Pick 6. Anyway, top three pitchers, Matt. Give me your top three and then give me your favorite contrarian arm.
So top three, I'll go with, I think it's easy, Burns, Eflin, Gallen. And then the contrarian guy is right in the mix for me with those guys, and that's Buto.
Okay, I like that. I'm in agreement. I will go, yes, of course, Burns, Gallen, Eflin. Just because he's getting strikeouts and limits power, and because Bailey Ober is so popular, I might go $7,200 Patrick Sandoval as a large field contrarian tournament pivot.
I will say, like, I don't think it's needed on a slate like this with 13 games, but there aren't that many leverage spots tonight. And the Angels / Sandoval are maybe the two best ones. So I completely get it.
Yeah. And you're like, I think we both said it earlier. I don't think you need to go crazy with, you know, trying to get leverage over the same spot on a 13 gamer. But that is an interesting scenario. I'm just a little bit surprised that Minnesota and Bailey Ober are so much more popular than Angels and Patrick Sandoval.
Yeah, I'm with you there for sure.
How about stacks for you? Top three stacks in a contrarian stack. I assume San Francisco is your contrarian stack today.
They are, although ownership on everyone's kind of contrarian. So we'll say the Giants are my contrarian. Top three overall. Rays. I feel like I have to say Dodgers, Yankees. So all these teams look so similar. Give me the two at the top of the top stack tool.
All right. I'll go top three. I think you have to go top three there. Just talking Tampa, Dodgers, Yankees. I don't love the Dodgers. Tampa, Yankees, Texas, because Ashcraft does have some homer issues there.
One other one I like that we didn't talk about a lot, really hard to get to, the second lowest top value stack on the board, or third lowest behind only Baltimore and Philly, the Diamondbacks. They're the only team towards the top getting, like, they're getting 1.5% ownership. Hancock has not been great. And this Arizona team has multiple games already this year where they've just broken the slate.
It's true. I don't love Miami, but I think that's also a spot that we probably should mention as well against Trevor Williams. And Jordan ran the Sims. We're getting a good amount of Miami it just kind of makes sense. Third highest value score on the slate as well. So appreciate you guys. Remember, exclusive on Playback, MLB Live Before Lock tonight, NBA Live Before Lock at 4:30. You want to check out the lineup generator for yourself. $5 for the first week. That's going away soon, but want to get it out there for you guys. Link in the description and in chat for that. If you have any questions, hit us up. And you get the premium Discord with that as well. So it's not just the lineup generator. Lineup generator plus premium Discord. Follow Matt at Fantasy Tips, Matt Mialafi_D. Shout out to Jordan for producing, and we'll see you back here for the next one. Have a good weekend, everyone. Peace.